You know it's summer when all people want to talk about is the weather. How seasonable it is, especially for this time of year. How incredibly mild. How typical. How it's finally come around. And how actually, now that it is here, it's all just a bit too much. We don't mind it hot, but not this hot. You also know it's summer when you can grab yourself a frozen strawberry lemonade. Tangy iced lemon mixed with a sweet strawberry swirl. $1.99 from the McCafe Iced Range at McDonald's. Served until the 11th of October, subject to availability. Price of participation may vary.
Blog Talk Radio.
No risk it, no biscuit.
Coming from the Arizona desert, presented by SBNation.com. For Arizona Cardinals fans, by Arizona Cardinals fans, with outsider and insider's perspective, this is Revenge of the Birds.
Good evening, everybody. This is Revenge of the Birds, your Arizona Cardinals podcast here on Blog Talk Radio, brought to you by SB Nation. This is your host, Jess Root, and tonight, we are talking training camp, which starts, the rookies are actually reported today, and we have our first practice coming up in a few days, the first public practice happening on Friday, the run test taking place for everyone is on Thursday, and once we're set, then we'll get going on that, but tonight we're going to be talking about, this is our training camp preview, we'll be talking about everything Cardinals leading up to everything. We have one of our co-hosts, Seth, on the line, and we're going to get Ben, our other co-host, our other guest tonight, will be on the line soon. And let's go ahead and get started here as we talk about, well, we had actually had a little bit of news today with the Arizona Cardinals, a couple of transactions, actually four moves that were made. They waived three players, including last year's preseason star in running back William Powell. He was waived, released today, as was undrafted rookie tight end Kyle Offrey, as well as undrafted rookie Michael Rios. Replacing them on the roster was also Robbie Toma, the undrafted rookie out of Notre Dame. Another interesting thing that came up today was in the past couple of days is that of dealing with Levi Brown. Levi Brown, according to Mike Jarecki, did not impress the coaching staff in this offseason in OTAs and minicamp. And Jarecki looked into it, saying perhaps that Nate Potter will be moving into the starting lineup, as Bruce Arians has said that he will start the best five. And then today he tweeted, and it is actually on RevengeOfTheBirds.com, you can talk about it there, is also that the Cardinals were having internal discussions about bringing in a tackle from outside of the organization, who that might be, perhaps with the way it was paved with the roster moves today. So we've got some stuff going on right now with that. But the biggest news is football is finally here. And we're going to talk about that. We're still waiting for Ben to come on the line, but we've got Seth on the line. Seth, how are you doing tonight?
Good, Jeff. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, we're doing great. How excited are you for football to actually start?
Oh, man, I couldn't be more happy. It's been a long off season, a lot of speculation and talk, and now it's just the real thing. So it doesn't really get much better than this time of year.
I agree. We have a lot of interesting storylines coming into camp tonight, coming to camp this year. And what's one thing that is different is the fact that we don't have a quarterback controversy, or we don't have a battle for the starting quarterback. And it's kind of been going on and off the past 1 year on, 1 year off. Obviously, going back to like last year, we didn't know who was going to start, and we didn't know all the way up until the very end between John Skelton and Kevin Cobb. The year before that, when Cobb was brought in, he was the unquestioned starter going into camp after the team had just acquired him. 2010, though, Matt Leinart, Derek Anderson. The year before that, 2009, we knew it was Kurt Warner. In 2008, though, even back then, we had a quarterback question going into the year, but it was going to be Kurt Warner. Whether it was Kurt Warner or Matt Leinart, and Warner obviously took that. But this year, it's Carson Palmer. No question. There's a little bit of certainty about that position, but not everything. Well, we're going to go ahead and get started off. We're going to go ahead and get started off by talking about the topics that we have. We're going to be – I've got some fill-in-the-blank topics for our guests tonight that we will talk about all of it. And then we got prediction time. What are predictions that we're looking for? And as soon as we get Ben on the line, we'll get him connected and joined as well. And then we're ready to go. So we're going to start off with you, Seth, tonight. Topic number one, fill in the blank. With training camp about to start, I am most excited about blank.
Honestly, right now, I'm just most excited about football being back and being in full swing. We've had lots of good conversations on Revenge of the Birds and the site. Myself on Twitter with a lot of different people. I'm known for needling the fan base a little bit and retweeting a lot of negativity about the Cardinals. But I do so because I like people to see what the outsider perspective is. And I don't do it with my thought of this is what I'm thinking. I just people need to see what the thought of the Arizona Cardinals is right now, and I think it's going to make this season hopefully more fun. Hopefully the prognosticators aren't right, but that's what I'm most excited about, honestly, is that it's here and we're going to actually get to see stuff now, and it's not just going to be hype and talk anymore. It's going to be the actual football part of it.
And for me, I am looking more about the offense. I am most excited about I want to see the offense and see what in the world this is that we're going to be able to add to what we didn't have. Obviously, last year, our offense was awful. It was terrible. And I'm excited to see the Bruce Arians offense. Is it going to be really – are we really going to be pushing the ball down the field like we're expecting? Are we going to be – is there going to – how much are they going to run the ball? How's Carson Palmer going to look? That's what I am expecting. This is what I am most excited about. Topic number two going in. We've got right now is – and we'll go ahead and start. I'll start this time. What I wish had happened this offseason but didn't is – and I'm going to tell you this. My fill-in-the-blank is ridiculous. My fill-in-the-blank is we didn't get Aaron Rodgers. And that was just simply because it was it's impossible. That wasn't going to happen. But – I was really pleased about how the offseason went. We addressed the quarterback position. We drafted offensive – not just any offensive lineman. We drafted Jonathan Cooper right there at the top of the draft. We took care of the quarterback situation. It would look like, well, we were going to have a little bit of competition going into the year. Originally, it was going to be Drew Stanton perhaps battling with Brian Hoyer. But they traded for Carson Palmer. People might not love the signing of Rashard Mendenhall. But he is a clearer. He's definitely a better option than what we had based on it than when Beating Wells had performed recently. We let some guys go that underperformed. We said goodbye to Adam Snyder. I really liked everything we did in the offseason. I liked the draft. I liked the signings that we got. I really liked that we got Carlos Dansby, even though it was in kind of the second wave when we ran into the Darrell Washington issue. So, what did you wish had happened this offseason that didn't?
Well, you kind of touched on it right at the end there. I wish Darrell Washington would have grown up a little bit. You and I don't – we have some information on the inside, but we don't really have the whole story on what happened with Washington and his off-field drug use and whatever that was. But I wish he would have, thought more about what he was going to do. It looks like Von Miller is in the same boat now. So obviously this is something that, in the younger players is running a little rampant. But on top of that, you have the domestic violence, alleged domestic violence, issue with Washington. And just some people I've spoken with, I think it's more serious than people know. and that worries me. And I just wish Washington would have kept his nose clean all offseason, that he would have, you know, stayed clean and, you know, continued to become the blossoming or blossomed more into the star that he was already becoming at that. Now, you know, on the field, he hasn't taken a step back, but just missing as much time, at least 4 games, you know, and like I said, the domestic violence thing hanging over his head this season, it could be a really a lost season for him, and I wish that would have never even come into play.
Now, thank you, Seth. Now, if any of you are listening and want to call in, you have questions or comments about training camp, you can do so by calling 646-478-3787. Again, you'd be talking to us, Revenge of the Birds, the Arizona Cardinals fan podcast by SB Nation. And we have Seth on the line. This is your host, Jess Root, and we're talking Arizona Cardinals training camp. Next question, next fill in the blank. I am most concerned about fill in the blank. I'm most concerned about blank. Take that one, Seth.
The thing I'm most concerned about is obviously going to be the offensive line. Like you touched on in the beginning of the show, you have the Levi Brown issue right now, and you compound that with, I like Nate Potter, but he's not, he wasn't ready to play last year. He needed to sit for an entire year, get stronger. I haven't seen him. I know you've said that he looks bigger and stronger already, but I want to see him get a little bigger, a little stronger. And so that's what I'm most concerned with going forward right now, is I'm concerned about the offensive line. You have a quarterback in Carson Palmer who does get rid of the ball quickly, but you have a coach in Bruce Arians who likes his quarterbacks to hold on to the ball and get the ball vertically down the field. So, you know, is the offensive line going to be able to protect Carson Palmer enough to be in order to get Arians' offense going in full effect? That's really my biggest concern right now, is the offensive line. And even with the addition of Jonathan Cooper, who hopefully is signed by this weekend, it's kind of ridiculous that he's not signed yet, but that's something we can get into later. But that would be my biggest concern right now.
And mine is actually on the other side of the ball. I'm not quite as concerned about the offensive line. I think by default we're going to get better play than a season ago, because of the fact it's not D'Anthony Batiste starting. Even if Levi Brown is just what he was, not necessarily at the end of the 2011 season, but what he was even before that, it's a better left tackle play by default. And then we moved Darren College. Granted, Darren College is learning a new position or playing a new position. It's not so much learning rather than getting used to doing it from the opposite side of the of center. We get Lyle Sin line back, and I would, you know, Jonathan Cooper, if he's even half of what he's supposed to be, I believe he simply will make things better. Me, my biggest concern is actually on the defensive side of the ball. While I don't have the same concerns about the defense being good or being talented, or I am most concerned about that the defense doesn't gel quickly enough for fans. If we know Ray Horton, when he came in 2011, it wasn't pretty the first half of the season. It wasn't pretty at all. There were big plays right and left. There were moments where you said, this is going to be good. But they gave up chunks of yardage the first half of the season. And they developed and became a very schematically sound defense. And with that success, Cardinals fans have a level of expectation of the defense performing at a high level. I'm not as concerned about the fact that they're not, that schematically it's going to be a bigger issue. I think there'll be talent. There's talents there. But I think I worry that the gelling won't happen quick enough and people will be bailing on the Cardinals defense early on in the season if they don't see results right away. And Likewise, I'm concerned about Darnell Dockett becoming what he wants to be. Yes, he feels unleashed that now this year because he's not being held back. He's not being asked to do things to set up plays for his teammates. He gets to make those plays. However, he is older. He's not the same player he was in when he was in the Super Bowl, making play after play after play. So while I don't have any doubt that Calais Campbell is going to do great because he's done that, I'm concerned about that defense gelling and that Darnell Dockett will be everything that we want him or he expects himself to be. Next topic. The individual player that I'm most interested in watching in the training camp is, you're up, Seth.
Well, can you repeat the end of that? Sorry, Jeff, I'm having bad reception here.
No problem. The individual player I'm most interested in watching is?
It's going to be, I thought that's what you said, but I just want to make sure. For me, it's Tyrann Mathieu. Bowles has a history of making good decisions at the safety position and bringing guys into the safety position and helping them perform and play well. Doing so and bringing in Mathieu, I think he can. I think he could be a breakout player this year. We saw the other day. I believe it was you that tweeted out. Could have been somebody else though. That Carson Palmer mentioned that he reminded him of Troy Polamalu, and I mean I can see that. You have a guy in Mathieu who plays way bigger than he's listed, who makes big plays, great timing. He's physical. He's not quite the athlete, at least maybe not right now, that Polamalu was. And by athlete, I don't mean speed or anything like that. I'm just talking about you watch Polamalu play, and he's flying all over the field. And I think it's a combination of athletics and football knowledge. I really like what Bowles brings to the table in the sense of the defensive secondary. And I think I want to watch Mathieu play. I want to see him develop because, honestly, Rashad Johnson and Jeremiah Bell, and even to an extent Tony Jefferson, they don't really get me excited, so to speak, for the safety position on our defense. And I want a guy that can make plays back there, that can take some of the pressure off of Patrick Peterson, and a guy that can be a leader. Maybe not vocally right away, but with the way he plays, and that's why I'm most excited to watch him in the preseason.
Great, and welcome, Seth. We now have Ben on the line. Welcome, Ben. Glad we could get you connected tonight. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Yeah, I'm glad to be here. Thanks. Finally got it figured out.
Well, good. We're going to go ahead and jump you right in. The question that I asked Seth was the player that I'm most excited. Or the individual player I'm most interested in watching this training camp is, that's your cue.
Absolutely. Tyrann Mathieu is probably going to be mine, but I'll go with a Coop, Jonathan Cooper. I'm really excited to see a competent lineman, the idea of having an offensive lineman with the Cardinals that could actually be, top 10 in the league, or should I say Pro Bowler, maybe even possible. It's really exciting to me because it's been, as long as I've been watching the Cardinals, we haven't really had that unless you count Levi's year as an alternate a couple of years ago. So I think Coop will be mine.
And mine, I'm actually going to go to a different direction, and it's not necessarily for the talent level as it is for the reputation he has. The player, Mathieu, I'm very interested in watching, Jonathan Cooper. The reason why I'm not as interested in watching him is because my eyes, like most other people when they're watching a football game or watching, their eyes are not drawn to the offensive lineman. They're drawn to the skill players. You watch the quarterback, they watch the running back, they watch the receivers, and they watch the plays defensively down the field. I'm going to go a little bit different direction. The player I'm actually most interested in watching this preseason is Lorenzo Alexander.
I found this. I thought this was a very intriguing signing in the offense and in the off season, giving Alexander a 3-year deal, and he's really done. He's been a special teams stud, but you could tell that in Washington, those guys of the coaching staff, they were very upset that he had to be let go, that he was not offered the same contract. It was kind of a snafu is how it happened. But people I know on the East Coast have done nothing but rave about Lorenzo Alexander. Fellow writers who cover the Redskins from Hogshaven, our other SB Nation, our SB Nation Washington Redskins blog, they love him. A guy I know, Bruce Hall on the East Coast, has a radio show out there. It says Lorenzo Alexander is perhaps the most talented. Coming from a Redskins fan, and you know how talented is Robert Griffin is, they say that Lorenzo Alexander, in him, we got their best player. I think that's a bit of hyperbole, of course, but Alexander is a guy who's been in the league a long time. He's played behind some really good linebackers. And what's interesting, we have him play him outside. I'm really interested to see how he does on the outside. He's smart. He's fast. And I want to see what he can do playing outside linebacker if he's going to be a pass-rushing threat. I'm really interested in watching that. Tyrann Mathieu, again, of course, is something I want to see. I want to see Michael Floyd. But the guy I'm most intrigued about because of the reputation I've heard from guys on the East Coast is, who is this Lorenzo Alexander, and is he going to be good? Next topic, we're going to move on. The position battle I'm most interested in. Now, we're not talking player, but the position battle. And we'll start with you, Ben. The position battle I'm most interested in is?
I'm actually going to go right back to your guy with Alexander and say outside linebacker. It's probably the most fun position for me to watch, like you were talking about. I will definitely agree with you there. And it'll be very interesting to see if Alexander can live up to the hype for being like 30 and having 8 career sacks. He has a pretty good reputation coming to the team. And it'll be really interesting to see if he can live up to that, if he can hold off Schofield and stay as the starter. I'm interested to see what's going to happen with Alex Okafor and see how much he'll be able to contribute with this, because I think he could be a good pass rusher for the team, but we'll see. You know, we'll see if he can emerge, if he can fit in the defense. With a lot of these guys, with a young player like Okafor at least, who's come to the team fresh, it'll be interesting to see if he can just fit in the defense and just do his job, you know. Whereas with Acho, he's been around. We know what he can do. Schofield and Alexander, those guys are veterans now. They'll definitely be able to, you know, at least fill their roles. I'm also interested to see if they keep an extra linebacker. In a 34 defense, it's not a bad idea, obviously, to keep an extra pass rusher on the team, either as special teams or even if he's just a reserve, like bench inactive type player. So it'll be interesting to see if Zach Nash or Dan Giordano or maybe Tim Fugger can actually, you know, show enough in the preseason to make the roster.
Seth?
For me, it's going to be the running back position. I touched on it in my last article on Revenge of the Birds, and that's just, I think the rookies that they drafted this year are guys that can come in and play right away. You know, I wrote a lot glowingly about Andre Ellington in the last article, and I'm working up my Stephon Taylor piece right now, and maybe it's just that I'm not the huge Rashard Mendenhall fan. The fact that Ryan Williams has never proven anything and can't stay on the field, but the way that Ellington and Taylor run, I feel like they really fit into what Arians wants to do. And so I think maybe not necessarily the starting running back position, but who's going to get the carries in case Mendenhall struggles early or goes down. That's kind of what I'll be watching is, you know, if they're hell bent on Mendenhall starting the year, you know, as the number one back on the depth chart, then who's the guy that is going to supplant him and take the carries if he doesn't produce? And that's one of the things I'm most looking forward to is, in my eyes, which rookie emerges at the top of the depth chart.
So we've got the offense, the outside linebacker position between Lorenzo Alexander, O'Brien Schofield, maybe to a lesser extent, Alex Okafor. We've got from Seth, we've got the running back position, looking at the rookies and Rashard Mendenhall. Some other position battles that could be key are the safety position. In fact, an article that I have up on Revenge of the Birds right now is based on what Greg Rosenthal from NFL.com thinks that three of the position battles that we have in going into training camp are among the most intriguing in the NFC, which include the second wide receiver position between Michael Floyd and Andre Roberts, the safety position, whether Tyrann Mathieu can actually supplant either Rashad Johnson or Jeremiah Bell, or if Bell the veteran can hold Mathieu off at least temporarily. Likewise, the running back position they mentioned. We also have it's kind of a lesser extent, so it looks at tight end two, the second tight end position. Everyone's talking in the offseason how great Rob Housler has been in the offseason, how great he's going to be. But the second tight end position, this is as Arians loves to use the two tight end sets, will be interesting. Going into camp, obviously, Jeff King is the guy listed on the depth chart above the other guys. He's currently hurt. We think he's going to be ready for training camp. We haven't heard otherwise. However, we've got several guys underneath him, Jim Drake, Corey Sperry, DC Jefferson just drafted, Alex Gottlieb picked up in the offseason. No longer do we have Kyle Offrey, who was just released today, but that's another position to look at. Now, for me, for my money, I'm most intrigued with the outside, like Ben, the outside linebacker position between Alexander and Schofield. One, because I'm really interested in Alexander, and two, because of the situation that Schofield is in. He's in his contract year. We know when it comes to a pure pass rusher, he is the most talented, the most gifted, the most able to become that special pass rusher, but has had injury issues. We also know that learning scheme and defensive plays, at least early in his career, was kind of an issue. He's definitely motivated to play. He's talking the talk. He's healthy. I'm interested in that because they have two very motivated players, Alexander, who's a veteran now to prove that he's worth a starting linebacker position, worth the contract he got. He's a high motor guy. He's real smart. And Schofield, the younger, gifted player who hasn't quite met up his potential. Again, if you're listening, we're Revenge of the Birds. We're talking Arizona Cardinals training camp. If you want to call in, give us your comments or ask us a question, you can do so by calling 646-478-3787. And again, this is Revenge of the Birds. We're talking Cardinals training camp. We're previewing a whole bunch of things, and we're going to move on to our next topic, another fill in the blank. In the preseason, I want to see the Cardinals win how many games? Seth, you go.
Honestly, if they go 0-4, I think they only play 4 this year. If they go 0-4, I'll be fine with that. I just want to see the offense clicking, and I want to see the defense in position to make plays. That's what's going to be big to me to start out. It's always good to see them win games, especially with a new coach, a new quarterback, get the confidence going. But in all honesty, the preseason for me is going to be more about what are they doing? Does the offense look good? Does it look fluid? Are they completing those, intermediate and long passes? Is Floyd running crisper routes? Is Roberts working in the middle of the field? Are Fitz and Palmer on the same page? Are we going to have a running game this year? I mean, Bruce Arians likes to run the football. No matter how much people talk about him throwing the ball around last year, he still likes to run the football. And that's, is the running game going to be a factor? All of that, I think, is more important than win. Of course, it'd be nice to see him win one or two, even three. But more importantly, I want to see how they gel.
Great. Ben, you're up. You want to see the team win how many preseason games?
I'm going to say 3, but only because I think I read on the internet somewhere one time that 4 is like bad luck, or it's just historically teams that win all 4 preseason games tend to suck in the regular season. I kind of take the analytical approach like Seth just described, where, they're meaningless games. If you lose them, it doesn't really, it's not going to hurt anything, really. You can talk about momentum going into the regular season. possibly, you know, taking some wins into the season opener, and that's probably not a bad idea. But the bottom line for me is just, it's just a better day when your team wins, so I'm going to say 3.
And I, as much as I like to see the Cardinals win, over the years of watching the Cardinals play, the 4-0 preseason, kiss of death. I remember seeing 4-win preseasons and 5-win seasons. And so generally there's something not so good about that. Now, I don't want to see the team go 0-4, but what I don't care about the number of wins. Okay, I'll say 1. I want them to see win 1. But what I want to see is how the first team does. We know that it's the third and the fourth teamers that tend to get the most playing time, especially in the second half when games are decided. So while it's nice if your third team and fourth team guys can beat third and fourth team guys from other teams, that's not terribly valuable other than, hey, it's a win. So I want to see the first team, however long they're in the game, win. Let's say if they leave with a tie game or they're leaving with a lead, when the first team reps are done, I want them to be winning. And our last topic before we move on to prediction time, the most important thing, and Ben, we're going to start with you, the most important thing this preseason, this training camp, the most important thing to happen is what?
I'm going to go with young players, not even necessarily standing out, but just fitting in and knowing their role and being able to do their job. Arians is going to run a different team than Ken Wisenhunt. We know that, and thank goodness, right? And I think we can expect a lot more from our rookies and from some of the new faces this year than we have been able to in the past, like in the recent history of the team with Wisenhunt. I think we're going to see Cooper starting. We should see a decent amount of Minter and Matthew, possibly even DC Jefferson all the way down to the very end. But any of the rookies really could have fairly significant contributions for the team, and I think it's going to be important for them to gel with the defense or with the offensive line or wherever they happen to fit in. So that's what I'm going to go with.
Great. Seth, the most important thing for you to see this preseason is what?
The most important thing for me to see this preseason is the linebackers in front of Dansby step up, Washington step up. I want to see Dansby or Brinkley or hopefully Minter be able to come in and have an impact right away. The Cardinals are probably losing one of their top 3 defensive players and obviously the most important linebacker on their team. They're running a new scheme. They're even if they're running the 3-4 still, they're still going to run it a different way. You're going to be without your best playmaker at linebacker, and I want to see, you know, Dansby's long in the tooth. There was a reason that he was still available in May. It's not that he's a bad player. It's just that he doesn't necessarily have what he used to have. You know, Brinkley is very much a 2-down linebacker. I know we talked about in the last podcast that he was getting a lot of run in nickel situations right now. But, you know, I think that's just more because of where the team is and trying to get him comfortable with Washington being out. And then, you know, you have Minter. You drafted him in the second round. You know, you passed on, you know, even a guy like Manti Te'o in order to draft him and pick up another pick. So I want to see, you know, if these guys can step up to make plays in the 4 weeks before Darrell Washington comes back. And like I said earlier, if it's longer, if it's, you know, 8 weeks or the whole season that he's gone, can they fill that gap?
And for me, I'm going to go a little bit more practical. The most important thing to happen in this preseason, this training camp, is staying healthy. It's really cliche that I don't think there's anything more important is to avoid key players from getting hurt. We saw what happened with Levi Brown last year. We've had a really good offseason thus far. Jeff King got hurt. We had a couple of tweaked hamstrings here and there, strained calf. But other than that, that's been good. I want to see them stay healthy. And after that, we'll see the execution. We're going to move on to our predictions. preseason predictions. Now, we're not talking regular season. We're talking just the preseason, training camp, preseason. We're not talking about wins, losses coming into the season, who's going to be the rookie of the year, who's going to stick. No, we're just talking preseason. We'll talk regular season predictions as we get closer to the end of the preseason. You're listening to Revenge of the Birds. You can call in and give us your comments, ask us questions at 646-478-3787. We're talking training camp, Arizona Cardinals training camp, and we're going to make some predictions. We're going to start with Ben on prediction number one. What will be, for you, you're predicting, the most surprising positional win of the position battles we talked about, or perhaps one that isn't there yet? There was one perhaps that we've got tight end two, we've got the wide receiver position, the running back position. Now maybe one of the offensive line positions, the left tackle could be up for grabs, outside linebacker, safety. The battle between Antoine Kaysun and Jerrod Powers, and maybe to a lesser extent, Jamel Fleming, who's going to be cornerback too. What's going to be the most surprising positional win for you? What are you picking?
I think I'm going to go with Jamel Fleming for starting cornerback. I think that would be the most surprising to me. We really haven't heard anything good about him yet, but I liked him as a prospect coming out. I liked just his physical play. You know, he's aggressive. He plays the run, he tackles. And I think Powers and Kaysun, I think they'll both good pickups, and I think they'll be decent players for us. But, you know, there's a reason we were able to get them in free agency. They've kind of struggled a little bit the last couple of years. So I think there's a little bit of wiggle room there on the roster. And I think it might be a nice opportunity in the preseason for a young player like Fleming to kind of step up and put, you know, some of the doubt to rest and really kind of claim a spot.
Seth, who's your surprise position winner?
For me, it's going to be Matthew. I'll go back to Matthew. He's going to beat out Bell and Johnson, and he's going to take the starting free safety position. I just think his playmaking ability and his willingness to come up and tackle, his ability to help out deep, and like I said, the way Bowles uses his safeties, it does a good job getting them in a position to make plays. I think we're going to see him come out and win that free safety position and really step up on the defense early.
And I'm going to pick someone who's actually listed as a starter right now, and I'm going to go with Lorenzo Alexander. I think pretty much the fan base when it comes to the Arizona Cardinals expects O'Brien Schofield to overtake him, or think that he should at least. And so even though Alexander is the starter listed as the first teamer right now, I'm going to pick him as the surprise winner of the positions, simply because I am a big fan of, well, I've been won over by everyone I've talked to, high motor guys like him who are smart, and the guy has speed. The guy is still at his age is very fast, and I think that at speed off the edge is going to show in the new scheme that he's running. Prediction number two. Who will be your standout player of training camp or preseason? We'll go with you, Seth. Who do you think will stand out the most all through camp?
I think we're going to like what I think we're going to like what Jerrod Powers brings to the table. I think he has some talent. He's physical. And I think when it's all said and done, people will be, as long as he stays healthy, obviously, people will be okay with letting Toler move on. I think he's got a little bit of Toler in him. He's feisty. He plays the position well. And I think just watching a lot of the Colts tape that we have on him, and when he's healthy, he does a good job. He makes plays. He's not going to be a shutdown guy at all, but he's a guy that works his tail off. And as long as he stays healthy, I think he's going to really shine in the preseason.
Ben, who is going to be your standout player in training camp?
Darnell Dockett. He's probably the loudest player on the team. We all know how he's felt about playing in the 34 defense over the last couple of years, especially with Ray Horton. He didn't exactly enjoy it, apparently. So I think it'll be a good chance for him to kind of put his money where his mouth is in some respects, and you know, show us what this new defense is going to be all about, and show us what he has left in the tank.
And me, I'm looking back on the previous preseasons. Who are the guys that tend to stand out? They tend to be the lower end guys at the bottom of the depth chart. Steven Williams really stood out a couple of years ago. Blake Gideon a season ago. William Powell a season ago. As well as Laurent Burr. Those guys, because they get more playing time in the preseason. So I'm going to go not a starter guy. I think that the guy that's going to be most impressive, that'll have people talk, is going to be Andre Ellington. You look at who tend to get, when you get later in the games, you usually have your third or your fourth team guy carrying the football like William Powell did a gazillion times. And you know what Ellington can do? Well, Ellington can bust plays open. As exciting as people thought William Powell was, he was nothing more than a backup when he was in college. Andre Ellington is a better talent. He's a great open field runner. And as Seth broke down rather well, he's very disciplined on his gaps when he's running inside the tackles, which will be very, very good. So I'm going to pick that he's going to be the guy that stands out and says, oh, wow, people last year were saying William Powell's the future. I was slow to think that as you don't tend to get fourth string guys all of a sudden jumping up to the front of the depth chart. But I'm picking Andre Ellington. Prediction number three. This one's a hard one. Who's going to be your biggest disappointment? Your pick, the biggest disappointment coming out of the camp. Ben, we'll go with you first.
I guess I don't have one player specifically that I think is going to be a disappointment. It's kind of the biggest overall disappointment to me is going to be some of the players that just aren't there anymore. Like I miss Adrian Wilson. It's going to be a different team without him, I think, a little bit. I was a big fan of Anthony Sherman. He's just a fun player to watch, and he's always on the field with special teams and on offense. So yeah, he's going to be missed. And I know some fans are going to miss Powell. Like you said, he was kind of a fan favorite. Even if Ellington comes in and kind of quickly erases that fun memory, but I'm just kind of sad to see some of the old guard leave the team, and so even some of the captains too. So it's just going to be a different team this year, and it's going to have kind of a, I don't know, I guess I'm feeling a little nostalgic right now.
And that's perfectly all right. Seth, who do you think, if you had to pick a guy that's going to be disappointing coming out of camp, who do you think that's going to be?
I think it's going to be Rashard Mendenhall. It's just going to be a learning situation for him. He's not really a dynamic runner anymore. He's kind of proven to be a 4 yards in the cloud of dust type player. And with this kind of revamp, trying to gel offensive line, especially without Jonathan Cooper in yet, and he's going to get in. I'm not worried about it. But until he's in and playing every day, you know, it is a concern. And then you add in Levi Brown coming back. Like you said, you're putting Darren College on the other side. Lyle Sindelein's coming back. I think Mendenhall is going to struggle to impress and make big plays early, and that's going to have some fans worried and a little disappointed. And I don't think he's going to play over, you know, extremely well to start training camp in the preseason.
Okay, so we've got the nostalgia disappointment being the old guard gone. We've got Rashard Mendenhall from Seth and mine. I really had to reach for this one. I don't tend to look at the preseason or anything as disappointments, and I hate to predict that. I think I'm picking Drew Stanton will be the most disappointing coming out of the camp. I think Carson Palmer will do fine, but I think Drew Stanton's not going to look as good as how people hope he will be. He's been a every once in a while starter, mostly been in the wrong situation everywhere that he's been. He's in line to be a starter, and then there's a young guy that goes in. This time it's the established veteran in Palmer. But I think that he will not look as good as people hope he does playing that second team. We're doing predictions here on our Arizona Cardinals training camp preview here on our Revenge of the Birds Arizona Cardinals podcast. We are talking with Seth and Ben. I'm your host, Jess Rood. We're going through our predictions. So far, we've talked about what position win will be most surprising? Who will stand out the most? We're making our predictions for that. Who will stand out most in training camp in the preseason? The biggest disappointment. Now we're going to another one that will be another surprise. I'm going to go with you, Seth, first. Who do you think? Who will be the most surprising cut of this preseason for the Arizona Cardinals?
I've had this in my back pocket the whole time, and I really hope it's not true because, he's just been beset by injuries for his career. And as a draft guy, it's going to be a wasted draft, second-round draft pick. But I think Ryan Williams ends up getting cut. They drafted two running backs. They brought in Rashard Mendenhall. Williams is, on a semi-expensive deal. I mean, it's just a little bit less than what Beanie Wells was going to get paid for the same, for the year. And I think with Taylor and Ellington, unless somebody gets injured or unless Williams proves that he can run without hesitation, and I don't want to say fear because I know he's not scared to run, but run without fear of being injured, I should say. I just don't know if he can make this roster. There's a lot of talent at the running back position. And I think even a guy like Alphonso Smith, who not many people are going to be talking about, he contributes on special teams. That's not something that Williams has ever done. So I think overall it's hard to keep a running back that may not get very many carries and doesn't contribute on special teams to boot. So I think that could be your surprise cut.
Okay, guess that's a good pick. Ryan Williams, probably kind of on that list for a few people. Ben, who you think will be the surprising cut come the end of the preseason?
I'm going to pick Jeff King. He's on a good contract. So for the same reason that it would be easy enough to keep him, it'd be easy enough to cut him because he only has 1 year left. But he's an older player. He's decent. He's been really good for the Cardinals. And, I think we would miss him because we don't have a lot of experience there. But at the same time, Arians hasn't been afraid to go with the young guy, young players, up-and-coming guys, at pretty much any position that we've seen. So it wouldn't take a whole lot for a young player to step up and kind of make themselves known and claim a roster spot. And with King already being a little bit behind in this new system, having missed some of OTAs with whatever his injury was, but I think it's possible that we will see him be a kind of a surprise cut.
And Ben, you stole my thunder. He was my pick as well, Jeff King, my surprise cut pick. And for anything else, he's a guy that he's an underrated pass catcher. I will give you that. However, I do think he's an overrated blocker. He has the reputation of being a good blocking tight end, at least looking at the analytics that you see on places like Pro Football Focus. He's not highly rated when it comes to game film and assignments. Now, whether that is accurate according to what people in the NFL see, but he's a guy that's been injured. He's injured right now. He's older. He is due $1.5 million this year, I believe, is the number that he's due. And he's going to be playing the tight end 2 position, which requires some flexibility. If the one thing I have not seen, I cannot recall seeing King do yet, is line up in the backfield. He can line up in line. I don't know if we're going to see him out wide, but I know Arians likes to use his tight ends the way sometimes a fullback is used, to start him in the backfield, put them in motion. I don't know if King can do that. And plus, he's older. There's some depth behind him with guys that kind of have the same skill set. Jim Dre, I don't know why I kind of been beaten on this Jim Dre thing for this offseason. I think he fits a lot of what Arians wants to do. He's not a standout player, but he's already experienced in sort of the H-back type tight end that Arians wants. Last year, he was the backup fullback, so he's lined up in the backfield before. He's an okay pass catcher. He can block all right, and he makes big contributions on special teams. And so a guy, I think Jim Dre is going to be the guy that catches that kind of takes his spot, at least initially. Corey Sperry, I saw a lot in some of the practices. He was getting a lot of play. Now, that might simply because King was hurt, and he said he got DC Ellington drafted in the sixth round. He could get some looks. Alex Gottlieb brought in as a free agent as well. But I think King, because one salary, you're going to get the same production of someone who's younger, maybe a little bit more versatile, and doesn't have quite the salary, I think makes him expendable. You're right in the fact that King has a contract that's really easy to keep him as well. But when you've got younger guys and he's on the back end of his career and it's a new coaching staff, I don't see why they would feel anything connected to him. Last prediction, your surprising roster make. Who to you are you predicting will be the surprise guy that makes the 53-man roster? Ben, we'll go with you first.
I don't think I'm going to blow anybody's mind with this, but Jonathan Amaya, he's been a pretty good special teamer from what I understand I think he's been around the league for 2 years, so he can immediately help the team with that, and he has a little bit of experience. From what I've read, he was actually a pretty good prospect coming out of school, so I know everyone's high on Tony Jefferson, and I could see him contributing, but I think Amaya will probably have a pretty easy time making the roster with his a little bit of experience.
I do agree with you on that. He was actually part of the Reggie Bush deal, I believe, initially.
Yeah.
He and historically, looking at, I don't know about Bruce Arians' teams, but historically the Cardinals don't get more than three safeties on the field. They don't really play more than three safeties actually on defense. You've already got that in Bell, Johnson, and Matthew. The guy that you need behind them are special teams guys. Who have we had in the back? At safety, we've had Hamza Abdullah, we've had Sean Considine, we've had special teams guys. I can totally see that happening. Seth, who would be your surprise player to make the final 53?
He's not getting talked about a lot, but I've written about him before. Ricky Lumpkin, defensive tackle. If they're going to a 3-4-1 gap scheme, I think he fits in better in that sense. It allows him to use his initial quickness, his speed, get into the hole and make the play. And I think he can do that and be a good backup at the nose tackle position for Dan Williams. David Carter is probably going to play nose tackle as well, but also back up on the defensive end. But I think Lumpkin is a nice player and a nice fit into that one gap scheme. So I think he'll make the roster.
Good. So we've got looking at Jonathan Amaya at the safety position. We're looking at Ricky Lumpkin on the defensive line. I'm going to the offensive side of the ball, and it deals with the tight end position. I think the guy that probably will surprise a few people, I'm picking him to make the roster, is free agent tight end and long snapper Alex Gottlieb, who is kind of the Mike Leach, only 10 years later. Only Gottlieb has gotten some play at tight end. I believe he had 35 receptions with Detroit. I think they're going to say, I don't know if he's going to replace Leach. However, I think the skill set is there. I think he's going to latch on to the last position there at tight end, where he can actually get playing time. And something, I don't know if you guys remember watching the Oakland Raiders last season on Monday Night Football when their long snapper went down and they had Travis Gaethel, Arizona State guy, long snapping. It was dreadful.
Ugly.
It was dreadful. One of the worst things ever. So it wouldn't hurt to have a guy who, in a pinch, has actually long snapped before. I'm looking that Alex Gottlieb is going to surprise at the tight end position. He's going to squeeze in at the roster. I don't think he will supplant Mike Leach, but I think he will make a good addition who can also contribute on special teams. We've reached the end of our predictions. Any other bold predictions or bold and big concerns that either of you have coming into the preseason and training camp?
I think we've pretty much covered it.
What about you, Seth?
I think, just to kind of piggyback on what you talked about a little bit earlier, one of the things I wanted to hit on about the biggest disappointment of camp, I think people are going to be a little bit disappointed with the offense during the preseason. One of the things I went back and watched was Bruce Arians' offenses early in the season, and one of the things that you saw a lot of was about timing and cohesion, and that happened last year with Andrew Luck, and Luck wasn't that great, to be honest with you, at the beginning of the season. He had his warts, and then he got progressively better as the year went along. The team won games early, obviously. They didn't win as many, but I think in the preseason, people are going to get a little bit, oh my, is this, what's going on here? But I think as the season goes along and as the preseason goes along, we'll see that cohesiveness start to gel, and we'll get to see them be able to make plays. But I think early in the preseason especially, there could be some struggles with the timing of routes, with the synchronization of the offensive line and the effectiveness of the running game. And so that's one of the things that, just as a caution, you're gonna hear a lot of basically a lot of "I told you so" about the Cardinals. You're gonna hear a lot of look at this. They're gonna be the same old Cardinals again, and just kind of ignore that and put that in a mental pocket, or in your back pocket, so to speak, and wait till the season starts, until the games really matter, because honestly, like I said earlier, if they go 0-4 in the preseason, that doesn't matter as long as they play well.
Great. We actually have a caller on the line. We're going to bring him on right now. Welcome to the Revenge of the Birds podcast. Who is this we have on the line?
Evening, guys. Long time listener, first time caller.
You would be the first time caller of the show, period. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I'm just trying to break the ice. This is Andy Stands Up.
All right, Andy, how you doing?
Groovy, how you guys doing?
Doing all right. What's on your mind?
Well, I was listening to the broadcast as usual, and it's fantastic. You guys are fantastic writers, and you guys are very motivated and everything. I appreciate it. But the first question I had was for Seth. Is at the very beginning of the broadcast, he said that the Washington suspension could be more severe than what Goodell had the 4-game already in place. And I was wondering, what does he have in mind more than the 4 games already in place?
If anything comes to light of this domestic violence accusation, if he ends up having to do any type of plea bargain, any type of jail, Goodell has a history of dropping the hammer, and unless charges get dropped, and again, this is just all speculation on my part, but unless charges get dropped completely by the defendant or the prosecution in this case, you could see him get another 4 games and end up at 8 games. That's just one of the things that happened in this. And I'm not saying that it's not a good thing. If he did commit a crime, obviously he needs to be punished. But in this era of the Goodell reign of terror, basically, even if it's something that maybe wasn't as bad as was first reported, and I'm not putting any light on what the accusation is. I'm not trying to do that. But even if it's not something as bad as what was first reported, you could see the penalty be a little heavier.
All right. Any other comments or questions you got, Andy? We're down to our final 2 minutes of the show. Anything else you'd like to add?
You guys do a great thing. I just appreciate listening to you guys. Thank you, guys.
Great. Thanks so much, Andy, for calling. We're hitting towards the end of our training camp preview here, or the Revenge of the Birds. Thanks, Seth, for calling in and joining us on the show. Ben as well, first time on the show. And thank you, Andy, for your comments and call-in. We hope to get more guests on our next one. Kind of a preview. If things go well, I will have another episode fired up for tomorrow, as I do have a Larry Fitzgerald interview scheduled where I can talk to him about the preseason and the off season that he's had. So what we're going to do, as soon as I get that interview done, we'll go ahead and load that up onto the streaming. You can listen to it later. And we've got practices starting Friday. We're done with our we're done with our show. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the guests. Thanks for your time. Keep it going, RevengeTheBirds.com. I'm Jesse Roop, your host, signing off with Ben and Seth on the line as well. Thank you so much for listening. You've been listening to Revenge of the Birds. Keep the conversation going by visiting revengeofthebirds.com. Follow us on Twitter at Revenge of Birds. You can also find us on iTunes at facebook.com/Revenge of the Birds.